Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Breaking news here at the Vatican, the American Pope, the Cardinals in the conclave making an historic choice, electing for the first time an American to lead the Catholic Church, Pope Leo XIV, who is from Chicago.
From the Vatican, a wholly unexpected announcement.
Habemus Papam.
We have a Pope, an American Pope.
La pace sia con tutti voi.
Pope Leo XIV from Chicago.
Tonight, the moment so many never thought would come, an American Pope. Across the globe, millions meeting Pope Leo for the first time. The surprising sight of white smoke on just the second day of the conclave. Around Rome, some 150,000 people race to St. Peter's Square for a glimpse.
Pace sia con tutti voi.
His first words to the cheering crowds of faithful in Italian. Peace be with all you.
Man, that was fast. I don't know exactly why. I'm certainly no Catholic insider to know what, you know, the likely outcome. I don't know enough of these names to even, you know, be useful in terms of handicapping what would happen in the conclave. But, John, I was expecting days, you know, at least.
I was at least doing 2 to 3.
Yeah, to have it on the, you know, basically on the second vote, right?
Right.
It was on the second vote.
Third vote.
Third vote, okay. Yeah. On the second day, within, you know, 24 hours, basically. That's just, I mean, that's amazing. And the real surprise was not the rapidity of the choice. The real surprise was, oh, hey, look, a guy from Chicago.
Yeah, exactly, like, an American.
I'm like, I'm from there. You know, for people who listen to the show for a long time, I'm from a lot of places. But, you know, I grew up in Chicago, went to school and in the suburbs. You know, also from St. Louis, both equal time, almost exactly identical equal time, by the way. But, you know, and then Arizona and Oregon and some other, and Detroit originally before that. But still, Chicago is kind of like, you know, the place where you went to high school is your home, right? And then, so, yeah, kind of wild to think of a guy from Chicago to, and also, you know, they're doing interviews like with his brother. You know, and that's always an unusual one to me because you tend to think of the Pope as being the Pope, you know, not being like somebody's bro Bob. You know, that's what they keep talking about. All of his friends just call him Bob, you know. And then I think it was NBC had asked the guy they were with to text him whether he's a Cubs fan or a Sox fan.
Right.
And I know all the Cubs fans were all excited about this because finally a Cubs fan in the, nope, White Sox fan, Southside.
And there's even a picture. There's even a picture of him at the White Sox game.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one yet. I did see some of the memes. Oh my God! Yesterday, you could have just spent all day seeing the different memes surrounding having a Pope from Chicago. Chicago has now produced a Pope before, a quarterback who throws for 4,000 yards. You have the guys on SNL sitting around the Pope. Somebody says a smart play for the Vatican to go with an American Pope to avoid tariffs. You've got a, my favorite one personally is a big Portillo's ad behind the Vatican. Somebody, that's great. How quickly can we ship Italian beef to Vatican City? This is also a pretty good one. It's got a picture of him and it says, God bless everyone in the world except Green Bay fans. So I don't know. Actually, where was the one? It was funnier. Oh, yeah. Popeyes did a thing, which is kind of, they could do it all the time. Pope, yes. Because if you spell Popeyes, P-O-P-E-Y-E-S.
Oh,
clever.
Wow.
And then, this is the last one for the moment, is somebody just said, hey, Chicago Pope, Tuesdays on NBC. I don't know. They made me laugh a lot. Conferences with the Pope, Big East, because he went to... Villanova. And the rest have zero. So I don't know. They're funny. I got to thinking about, and my brain is weird. I know this, okay, but here's what I
know.
Yeah, I do. I am well aware. I got to thinking about, you know, there's a lot of popes to know if you're going to have to pick a pope name, right? Because, I mean, he picked, right, Leo. He's the 14th in that line. Leo was also a brother that worked with Francis of Assisi. Francis, of course, became Pope Francis's namesake. You know, and people are kind of reading. They always have to read into what does that name mean? Are you going to follow in this tradition? Are you going to follow after that encyclical, whatever? And, you know, you'd never know until they do their thing, until they're pope for a while. And so I just think it's interesting because on the one hand, you got to know pretty quickly what your pope name is. You don't have a lot of time to sit there and research. On the other hand, it's kind of presumptuous to think about what your pope name would be if you win the election, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to think about
You have to, but, you know, how much time you put into that? Because for most of the cardinals, they never get to be their pope name.
No.
You know? And by the way, that tradition is not universal. For the first millennium, they didn't take on new names. And then the Germans came in, and Germans wanted to show that they were actually part of the tradition. So they were taking on Italian-sounding names as part of the tradition. So just, I don't know, it's all kind of interesting history here.
I didn't know that.
Let's see. Coming up next, we got the Transgressive Memorial Service. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, they're all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Time to get picked. New Pope, 2 days. Shadur Sanders, 3 days.
If you need to hire, it seems like the whole process can be exhausting. You search resumes, wait for the right candidates to apply, set up initial interviews. It's a lot of time and work. Well, what if you could meet with qualified candidates for your job the very next day? Now you can with Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro is super easy to use. You simply pick a time, and it does all the work of finding and scheduling qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you want to talk to and meet with great people on back-to-back video calls as soon as the next day. Best of all, you save time and energy.
Try Zip Intro for free right now at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. Once again, go to ziprecruiter.com/free to try it for free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, it's True Blue Band with a blend of upbeat grooves and soulful singing that make True Blue one of the top up-and-coming acts on the Gulf Coast. They're a must-see with R&B, soul, and roots. You'll be dancing the night away at Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets and no glass.
Hi, this is Adana from Mathnasium. Mathnasium is thrilled to join the Pensacola Expert Panel Monday at 9. If you have school-aged kids, you won't want to miss this. Whether your child is catching up, keeping up, or ready to get ahead, Mathnasium has a solution tailored just for them. We're not just teaching math, we're changing lives through it. I can't wait to dive into the world of Mathnasium with you on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
All Our first remembrance is for the Holy Roman Catholic Church, which has yet again shown itself to be decidedly unwoke about the significance of race and race symbolism. Obviously, we have a long-standing objection to the church for its refusal to allow women in leadership, for its opposition to reproductive rights, and for hostility toward every symbol of the holy acronym string, even the ones that nobody really knows what they mean. But if we had any hopes at all for improvement by the robe-wearing landlords of Vatican City, it was that they would finally nominate a pope of color. After all, among the 252 cardinals in the conclave, 29 are from Africa, and one is even African-American. With 30 black cardinals to choose from, we hoped, perhaps naively, that it could really happen. But to no avail, yet another white guy has taken his seat on the gold throne. So disappointing. As you may know, there have been 266 popes, only three of them have been black. That means only 1% of all popes have been African. But if you consider time served, the picture's even worse. Pope Victor I served 10 years from 189 to 199 AD. Pope Miltiades served for 3 years from 311 to 314, and Pope Gelasius I served 4 years from 492 to 496. This means that of the 1,992 years since St. Peter, the first pope, only 17 years, or less than 0.1% of the lifespan of the Catholic Church, has seen it led by a black pope. More proof that racism really is just a math problem. But it's worse than that. Consider some of the color choices associated with the papacy. His vestments are white, or at least off-white, perhaps ivory. The acolytes wear white. The candles are white. Jesus is referred to as the light of the world, whereas Lucifer is referred to as the prince of darkness, at least according to John Milton. And who gets to wear black in Catholicism? The nuns. The lowly nuns. And, well, yeah, the priests when they go out into the lost world as a representation of mourning and death. But at that point, what distinguishes them from Johnny Cash? A white collar! The only routinely black thing in the church is often a Bible, black letters, right? Which as soon as you open it is page upon page of white space dominating the very small black letters, and sometimes red ones, whatever that means. But of course, the most obvious racism in the church is in the conclave itself, which sends out its message of progress to the people with contrasting colors of smoke. Black smoke for failure and white smoke for sweet victory. White is for winning and black is for losing? It really doesn't get much more unwoke than that. This entire religious organization with its history of radical exclusion and its patently racist color palette must go. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida, the state that regularly runs afoul of everything we stand for. Why can't they just stop attacking us? Well, in the latest offense worthy of their cancellation, the legislature and the governor actually agreed about something. Something awful. Reversing decades of good public policy, scientific data, and children with reduced cavities, Florida is now banning the use of all additives in drinking water that do not specifically improve the quality of the water, and that includes banning fluoride. You would think that a state which has a name so similar to the very chemical under consideration would have made a different choice. Fluoride, fluorid, it's almost identical. Why the separation? You even have native entertainers such as Florida, who seem to recognize that being a sunshine stater makes much more sense if one is pro-fluoride. Duh. Literally, the word for turning someone into a resident is the same word for making water safer. Fluoridation. But no, the state has gone the other way. And of course, it saddens us because we believe reducing cavities, especially for poor children who don't have good oral care routines or access to dental services, is a good thing. But that's not the real issue. You see, as advocates of communitarian thinking and opponents of individualism, we agree with the cavity-loving Republicans. This is really an issue about medical socialism versus medical freedom. They say it's wrong to force people to drink medicine without their consent. We say it's irrelevant whether people consent to what's good for them. As Phil Bink's fourth treatise on the benevolence of government reminds us, government exists to do to people what they won't do to themselves for their own good. Sometimes called paternalism, this core idea of government as the kind, wise, and loving parent who takes care of its citizen children even against their will or when they're being bratty, is of course the only rational thing to believe, as we do. And it's easy to understand because the needs of the community and the wisdom of the community always outweigh the judgment of the individual. People don't have the right to harm themselves, and they certainly don't have the right to harm children, which is exactly what making Florida into Floridna means. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, we want to take a moment to celebrate a major milestone in American religious history as the Presbyterian Church USA recently made the decision to close down its missions program after more than 200 years. Yes, the Presbyterian Church was the first Protestant denomination in the United States to formally establish a national mission program, the Standing Committee of Missions, in 1802. And after 223 years of sending tens of thousands of devoted Christians around the world to preach the gospel and serve those in need, PCUSA recently gutted its missions division, blaming the cutbacks on declining membership and faltering finances. Obviously, the entire project of Christian evangelism stands at odds with our core beliefs. Christians believe in fixed and immutable truths, whereas we believe in the viewpoint of the individual or the group. Christians believe in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, whereas we believe in salvation by pretending to be a more and more virtuous person all the time. Christians believe the Bible is the Word of God, whereas we believe men wrote the Bible and it's done nothing but get in the way of healthy societies ever since. And of course, historically, Christians have been so devoted to these core ideas that they've traveled around the world to persuade others to believe them, building hospitals, teaching children to read, and providing for the poor, afflicted, and imprisoned along the way. But no more, and it's a good thing too, you see? The very idea of evangelism is culturally arrogant, starting from the premise that we know something that the target group doesn't know. But who are we to tell other people how to live, except that everything we stand for is about telling people how to live, including telling them not to tell other people how to live. We strongly oppose the narrow-mindedness of lecturing other people on what they should do, which is why we constantly lecture people not to lecture people on what they should do. You see, it's not narrow-minded when we tell other people how to live. It's open-minded because it's open-minded to be narrow-minded when telling narrow-minded people that they should stop telling other people to be narrow-minded. Understand? The point here is that even though we agree with the Presbyterians about nearly everything these days, from social justice to racial reconciliation to climate alarmism to sexual anarchy and to honoring all of our LGBTQ2+ square root of six friends in being whatever they decide they are, we nevertheless celebrate the closing down of any Christian missions program, especially one as long-standing as that of the PCUSA. So well done, quitters. Besides, it's not as though the Bible gives you some great commission to spread the good news or anything silly like that. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
627 on News Radio 92.3, informative local. Well done, quitters. Andrew says some, brother Andrew says outrageous things sometimes. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I'm still trying to figure out the and nobody and body. I'm so confused.
The
open-minded
and the closed-minded,
yes,
and we don't lecture people except that we lecture them on how not to lecture other people?
Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I need a chart diagram. All right. Traffic brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 going to and from Pensacola is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Pope Leo celebrating his first Mass as leader of the Roman Catholic Church. This morning's Mass in the Sistine Chapel was attended by cardinals from around the world, including some that were considered in the running to replace Pope Francis before the conclave. The Department of Defense moving quickly to remove about 1,000 transgender service members from the U.S. military. Yesterday, trans service members were given 30 days to leave or be forced out. The order follows a Supreme Court ruling that enabled the Trump administration to follow through on a transgender military ban.
And they're going to be looking through people's medical records to verify that they're not transgender, is what I read.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. The jury seated today in the sex trafficking trial of music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. A panel of 12 New Yorkers was chosen after a Manhattan judge questioned about 100 prospective jurors. Opening statements are expected in that case to begin next week.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at a text I got in. Cracks me up.
Oh, do tell.
Somebody said, you've seen Princess Bride?
You've seen, yeah,
the movie? Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody said, truly, you have a dizzying intellect, Brother Andrew.
Nice.
Nice quote. Oh, that's very good. Oh, man. 437-1620. 437-1620. Hey, if you need any of the repairs done inside your home to the complex systems like the plumbing, the air conditioning, the heating, the electrical, there's one company that really does all of that work, and it kind of makes sense because they sort of hang together as those complicated systems inside your home. That's Peden. Peden Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical, and Plumbing, and they will take care of you anywhere along the Gulf Coast, Panama City, Tallahassee, Fort Walton Beach, Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Baldwin County, even into Mobile. In the last couple of years, they've been expanding. And so their principle is, look, let's put good products, let's get good people, let's install things right the first time and stand by our products with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And, you know, that's worked pretty well for 55 years. In May, their specials right now. In May, you can cool off with a new air conditioning system from Peden and get $1,500 off plus special financing. Some restrictions may apply. Also, generators. We're coming up on, you know, hurricane season, so now is the time. Get your best price of the year before storm season begins. Save $2,500 on a standby generator through May on a dependable and powerful Briggs & Stratton generator. Some restrictions may apply. Also, find out more, book an appointment, get information at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Chris Foster. Pope Leo XIV celebrates his first Mass in the Sistine Chapel with the cardinals who elected him as new leader of the Catholic Church.
As we celebrate this morning, I invite you to recognize the marvels that the Lord has done, the blessings that the Lord continues to pour out upon all of us.
Cardinal Robert Prevost is the first American pope. The last to take the name Leo died in 1903. A Victory Day parade in Moscow celebrates Russian victory in World War II.
Здравствуйте, товарищи!
Defense Minister Andriy Belousov greets thousands of troops watching from the sidelines, not only Russian President Vladimir Putin, but key allies, including Chinese leader Xi Jinping.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. President Trump names Fox News host Judge Jeanine Pirro interim U.S. attorney for D.C. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 72 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, controversial UWF Board of Trustees member Adam Kissel remains a sitting member of that board despite the Senate not taking action on his confirmation last month. Kissel reportedly will be serving until 45 days after the legislative session comes to an end. Of course, that session has been extended as lawmakers continue to work on the state budget. The PNJ reached out to Senator Don Gates, who said Kissel could even potentially be reappointed for another year by Governor DeSantis. Kissel was one of five people appointed to the UWF board by the governor in January. Only two ended up being confirmed by the Senate. That was Paul Bailey and Chris Young. Kissel's affiliation with the Heritage Foundation and stances on the privatization of public universities and the GI Bill proved to be controversial topics during his confirmation hearings. Governor DeSantis appointed another Heritage Foundation member, Zach Smith, to the UWF board this week. Smith also serves on the Pensacola State College Board and reportedly will be serving on both. The city of Pensacola is taking up a child care initiative. Mayor D.C. Reeves says they're working to help parents with child care access issues.
What we all know is to advance this community the way we all want to see it. We have to improve outcomes in education, and we really want to take a big, hard emphasis on increasing child care access across the board at the city. So,
Reeves says the goal is to increase the quality, quantity, and affordability of child care in the city. The initiative will aim to increase the number of child care centers and help existing child care providers to expand their businesses. Work begins with a child care summit on May 28th. Nearly 40 child care experts, both local and from across the state, will be gathering to discuss problems. And then in a second part of that summit, they'll try to come up with some solutions for those. Well, Escambia County looking for input on two proposed roadway concepts as part of the South Navy Boulevard Improvement Plan. The one-mile corridor extends from Barrancas to Sam A. Lovelace Bridge and serves as a key gateway to NAS Pensacola, supports nearby neighborhoods and businesses. Commuters and residents are encouraged to help shape the future of South Navy Boulevard by providing feedback at an open house meeting that's happening next Wednesday, the 14th, from 5 to 7 at the Lexington Terrace Community Center. That's located on Old Corey Field Road. Well, Republicans aren't the only political party feuding with members. Democrats also having some issues.
Florida Democrats are imploding, consumed by infighting, power plays, and a deepening sense of irrelevance in a state dominated by the GOP. The Democratic players, some of whom were granted concealment because they feared getting ostracized for speaking out, said they were in a party in ruin. The party has failed to grow its voter rolls, raising only $300,000 between January and March of this year, compared to the Republican Party of Florida's $4.6 million. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. 98 is looking good on Highway 90. We've got no issues for you right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing some showers and thunderstorms, especially as you go later throughout the day today. About an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 78. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65. For Saturday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 79. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
71 right now in Pensacola, 70 in Milton, 72 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors remained optimistic about the U.S. striking more trade deals on tariffs with international trade partners. The 10-year Treasury yield climbed to less than one basis point to 4.37%. President Trump has unveiled the details of the trade deal made with the U.K. Under the deal, most U.K. goods will still be subject to the global 10% tariff. However, U.K. steel and aluminum will be exempt from the U.S.'s 25% levy, and U.K. car tariffs will be lowered to 10% from 25% for the first 100,000 vehicles. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has unveiled an air traffic control modernization plan by investing in new technology. Duffy predicted the project will take 3 to 4 years to complete. Duffy, however, did not specify how the government will pay for the new equipment. Futures are slightly higher after the reveal of the U.S.-UK trade deal. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 254. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
You could travel the world, but nothing comes close to the Golden Coast. Once you party with us, you'll be falling in love. Oh, oh, oh. Girls.
There's folks in the Florida House of Representatives. If you followed how this has gone in the legislative session, when I propose something, the leadership there, they just reflexively oppose it. I mean, that's their view. Now, they didn't run on that. They ran on our agenda, and they seized power because of us. They wouldn't have a supermajority if it wasn't for us. And yet they're there just trying to stop, you know, good progress. And the reason why, I mean, look, I think that they are more, the leadership in the House is probably more sympathetic with more of the open borders. But part of it was they didn't want me to get a quote win. That's how these people think. They're not trying to do your business. They're pursuing their own personal agenda. They have vendettas. They have these things. And so that was a really telltale sign.
So the governor says, he tells Channel 3, or sorry, this is actually his speech the other day, where he says that the House hates me. They're just against me because they don't want me to win at anything. They have personal vendettas against me. They're out to get me. They're for open borders, and they have a iron fist around all of their members, coercing, cajoling, and scaring them into doing what's right. And they're, I mean, he used all kinds of colorful language. They're smothering the property tax proposal in the crib. They're kneecapping it. And it's just giving a benefit to the stupid Canadians. He said Canadians like so many times in this press conference. It was so weird. Joining us now, we have Alex Andrade, State Representative Alex Andrade. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So obviously this is, you know, you're good friends with the Speaker of the House, Danny Perez. The Speaker has proposed this idea of a, I guess it was originally a 0.5%, but now it's kind of moderated to 0.25% across the board sales tax cut. The governor says this will make it impossible to pass a property tax referendum in a year and a half. And all you're trying to do is destroy the budget surplus so that we can't afford to pass a property tax referendum. You know, you guys are poopy faces and hate conservatism. Can you unpack this a little bit for me? Because I don't read you guys that way, but, you know, your chance to respond.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I don't know when precisely our governor became a toddler, but it's making it, like, just very annoying to listen to him. But the whole concept that we have is, hey, let's cut taxes and let's also cut our budget. Like, we're talking about government efficiency across the country. We as the state, let's cut the taxes that we collect as the state and let's also cut our budget. That's what we're doing. We're reducing our budget by nearly $3 billion this year and we're reducing our tax revenue likewise. Governor DeSantis really wants to focus on dogeing everyone but himself. He wants to, you know, doge in air quotes, local governments and universities, et cetera. And so his big proposal for tax cuts is, you know, property taxes. Well, we don't control property taxes. Those are local governments. And for us to cut property taxes, that has to go on the ballot next November 2026. So what Governor DeSantis is saying is no one needs tax relief in the state of Florida until 2027, and that's assuming it passes in a referendum. He's also now apparently saying that this immediate sales tax cut, a cut of $3 billion to our budget, will make it impossible for us to offset property taxes, meaning let's not cut taxes now. In the off chance, we might possibly could maybe cut property taxes next year. It's the most ridiculous logical fallacy that he's making right now. Why not both? Why not both, Governor? Are you saying the state's $3 billion that we're trying to cut this year is going to somehow not be spent in the interim while we wait to pass this referendum? We're not putting in the savings to offset property taxes. And if you don't couple property tax cuts with actual spending cuts, you're not actually cutting taxes.
You know, it strikes me as a weird approach because it was so much an either or the way he was setting this up, that you would either do the sales tax cut, and he kept, you know, poo-pooing the idea that it was so small, that it was, you know, less than $100 per taxpayer. I think that math is close. I'm not sure it's quite right, but it's, you know, it's not a big amount. I agree with that. But, you know, giving homesteaders back $300 to $1,000, that's not a massive amount here. It's also not a property tax reduction. It's just a payback. But if his argument is we won't have the surplus left to afford a property tax cut then because of this piddly tax cut that you guys are proposing, and yet he's offering an apparently bigger tax cut right now or a rebate check right now, like the whole logic of it doesn't add up. But I just want to press you on one thing, because I want to make sure that we're on the same page. You guys aren't saying sales tax cut now and no property tax cut or reevaluation later, because if you push me to pick, I'd rather have property tax reductions than sales tax reductions, for sure. And certainly I'd love to consider eliminating it. You're just saying, let's do this now and we can talk about doing that later, because the later isn't even a guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, it would be hypocritical for us not to cut our own taxes right now if we're advocating for property taxes and forcing local governments to cut their taxes. No, I want to do both. I'm a conservative, Governor DeSantis. I want to cut as much taxes as possible, cut as much spending as possible. Let's start with our own budget first. It's like he wants to cut everybody else's budget but not his own.
Yeah, the idea of imposing a reduction of income on the counties and the cities while not being willing to impose a reduction on the state sales tax income. I mean, yeah.
He's a hypocrite.
Yeah, who are you forcing to pay the price? We'll come back to that in a second, because I really think there's a disconnect between the governor and the counties, and you hear more from statewide, and so I'm curious if you hear the same thing around the state. We'll come back to that in a second. We're talking to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Back to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. He takes a very strident tone against local government. They're raising, you know, they're generating more revenue than they've ever generated before. They don't need to have as much revenue. They could go back to, you know, 2019 spending levels. They're wasting your money. They should be the ones to take the cuts. And now I talk to, and you do too. We talk to city council, the mayor. We talk to county commission, the administrators, and all these folks. They are struggling to make ends meet, even with the increased budgets, because of the increased cost of everything from firefighter salaries to construction to paving equipment to sand renourishment. Like, everything costs more. And I feel like the governor somehow feels there's this land of milk and honey flowing out of the county government's largesse, when it's my opinion that the local governments are getting less and less money because of increased homestead exemptions. They're getting imposed upon with mandates that they can't afford, unfunded mandates, and they're consistently being told to do more and more with less and less. But what's your take on this, Alex?
Hey, Alex.
Well,
let's take this person off. And all right, sorry about that, Alex.
Oh no, I'm sure that there are some local governments that are at the max amount for every, you know, tax they can levy, every fee they can levy. But again, why point outwards when you can point inwards, Governor? Governor DeSantis has increased his budget every single year since he's been in office, and that's since he was in Congress, when he presided in Congress over budget increases and growth in the budget since he's been in public office. There's not been a single year where his budget has actually been lower than it was the year before. So for him to talk about people's budgets growing, it's hypocritical and also ridiculous. He needs to look inward. Local governments around here, we do the rollback rate. You know, there's a campaign to encourage local governments to select the rollback rate this year. That campaign isn't really needed in Northwest Florida, because our local governments generally do opt for the rollback rate.
I thought Santa Rosa maybe did it, but Escambia has not done the rollback rate. For people who don't know, the rollback rate is the idea that as property values increase, your property taxes increase, and what we'll do is we'll take the millage rate and we'll put it back at the level that would produce the same level of income overall, which is a lower or a rollback rate. I don't remember anybody. I thought Santa Rosa did a partial rollback, but not a full one. But I don't think anybody else has done one locally. Am I mistaken about that?
There are local city and counties that I think the city of Milton has done a rollback rate in recent history.
Okay. Maybe they're even like the ones I'm thinking of, a partial. So, okay.
And I think Gulf Breeze has probably done a rollback rate. I'd have to double check year in and year out, but I am sure that rollback rate has been opted for more often than we might think.
Okay. I mean, I may be wrong, but I don't remember it, especially when, you know, big budget, the counties, both counties particularly. But anyway, and you're right, that's an option for them to do some kind of a cut. And again, I know Santa Rosa County has done some cutting in this regard. I do want to switch topics just a little bit because it's another thing that the governor brought up when he did an interview with Channel 3. I want to play the actual clip for you so that you can hear it from his mouth and then you can respond. This is another kind of criticism of the House particularly.
Why did they last week just do legislation to undo the tort reform that we did? Now, we actually have auto insurance rates have gone down 5% so far this year. Our property market has stabilized as a result of reforms that were done a couple years ago. These are tough issues, but what they're doing, everyone agrees, will mean more money for trial lawyers and higher costs for consumers. Why would you vote for that in the space of this? And I think that something's wrong with how the House is conducting themselves.
Okay. I wasn't familiar with anything you guys were doing that fit that description, but I figure you would know what he's talking about and you can respond, Alex.
Yeah. If you ever wondered who owns Governor DeSantis, it's the insurance lobby. The only thing we've done this year is work on making sure insurance companies pay out claims fairly, more accurately, and more efficiently. And that's in relation, you know, on top of the fact that insurance companies were discovered to have hidden their assets and lied to the state about their losses a few years ago. There was this bombshell report at the beginning of session about insurance companies hiding their assets, lying about them, and we had a big investigation about that at the beginning of session.
That's the whole thing where the parent corporation or the subsidiary is reporting losses by hiding the profits into the other corporation and therefore getting more favorable rates and being able to raise rates when they're actually making. Was that issue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
When we have a bill that tries to make it easier for an insured, a consumer to get paid on their insurance claim or to make it more fair in litigation against an insurance company, that apparently is what DeSantis is talking about. And he's just repeating word for word what the insurance lobbyists are saying. The two things that constituents always talk about with insurance are the price of premiums and their ability to make a claim and get paid out and taken care of by their policy. You can work on both, but apparently DeSantis wants to make it as easy as possible for insurance companies to keep your money and not give it back to you ever.
See, that's what I find frustrating recently, particularly listening to him when he narrates his version of the immigration bill battle. And I think I remember all of this and that's not what I remember. Or when he's narrating his version of the property sales tax bill, like that's not what I remember at all. And then so this with the tort reform, it just doesn't.
He'll never tell you he's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in money from the hemp lobby when he rails against marijuana. Like, these are things that he just doesn't tell you. But people need to look at how much money he's been collecting from special interests like insurance companies and hemp and down the line, because he is selling himself out on his way out the door. And he's making it seem as if, like, he's the only person fighting for folks. It's ridiculous.
Alex, one last thing I want to get in with you before we let you go is, and I don't know if you've heard me talking about this or not, but there was this really weird crash, and I know I'm a little bit fixated on this, but when I find things that make no sense, I will kind of can't get tunnel vision on it. It's a law that says that if you're on a two-lane highway with a dotted, you know, dashed line where you can, you know, pass, and I'm making a left turn, and somebody gets annoyed with me or gets irritated or doesn't want to wait, and they pass me, and then we collide because they're passing when I'm trying to turn. In many situations, it's my fault. And I had somebody text in and say, my very first accident back in the 80s was I was on Via de Luna turning into our condo in my grandparents' car. Somebody didn't want to wait. They passed around me. They hit me, and I got the ticket for it. That strikes me as a crazy law that, A, most people do not know is the law in Florida, and, B, could probably use a little tweaking. Any thoughts or any?
Yeah, someone should really do something about that, Andrew.
I wish I knew a legislator who had it.
Yeah, someone should really get right on that.
All right.
No, it's a good point well taken. I understand. Thanks for bringing it to me. I agree with you. So going into next session, starting this November, let me see about some language.
Okay. I mean, and maybe there's some justification for it that I'm not seeing. Maybe there's some way to write it where there's like a threshold of right of way or something, because I can get there circumstances where it might make sense. But generally speaking, I was like, oh my God, some jerk wagon can decide that he wants to not wait for me, pass me on the left, and I'm to blame when he hits me in the side. Like, that cannot be right. Anyway,
well, it's a weird incentive. You don't want anybody in that left lane when someone's turning,
right?
Like, you don't want anyone oncoming or passing in that left lane when someone's turning. So why incentivize that?
Yeah, exactly right. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 6:50 here on News. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Deterrence is the art of producing in the mind of the enemy the fear to attack.
Good morning, 657 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, I got an interesting text in here. Somebody says Santa Rosa County has actually done the rollback rate. Whoops, sorry about that. Has done the rollback rate several times. Three of the last four times it was available to do. Somebody else says, I guarantee you 100% if you put on the ballot to eliminate property taxes, it'll pass at 98%. I don't think it'll pass 98%, but I definitely think it would pass at probably three quarters. I agree with Blazing Goldie about that. The problem is, how are you going to fund local government? You can't just eliminate property tax. You've got to also empower a higher sales tax is the likely way to go, okay, to make that happen, which I would favor. I completely favor that. It's crazy. You don't own your house. You have a billion-year lease. And if you don't pay your lease fees in 3 years, they'll sell it to somebody else. I mean, it's that simple. So you never really own your house with property taxes. It's crazy. I actually agree with the governor about that. You know, we don't make you pay rent on the TV you buy. Why do we make you pay rent on the land and the home that you buy? It's nuts. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are thinking about that next vehicle that you're trying to pick up or just wondering what's out there, go to Frontier Motors and talk to them. I was reading the Pensacola community part. Go to Frontier Motors and talk to them about what they have available. 300 cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, sedans on the lot. You can look at as many as you like. You can test drive as many as you like. You can listen. They're all there for you. sample the buffet of cars. They have a lot. And what they specialize in is cars that are good quality. They're going to last a while, you know, 1 to 3 or 4 years young, low miles, you know, 10 to 50,000 miles that they will warranty to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they only deal in good quality cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. and U.K. have agreed to a new trade deal. President Trump made that announcement yesterday morning. He said he believes it'll be a great deal for both countries. The U.K. agreement is the first to be reached with the U.S. since Trump announced the global tariff plan.
One note on that is we have a trade surplus with the U.K., so we are in a position where they need us more than we need them. So it's an interesting kind of, you know, it's an easier deal to negotiate. But go ahead. But it is a good deal. It's a good deal.
Virginia resident spending more than 30 years in prison for funneling money to ISIS. The Justice Department said Mohammed Shipa raised funds and sent money to ISIS members between 2019 and 2022. And Manny Pacquiao is apparently coming out of retirement to fight for the WBC welterweight title this summer.
Okay. All right, David, thanks so much. Hey, Navy Days is this weekend. We've got a parade tomorrow morning at 10. We got all kinds of things going on tomorrow, including, hopefully, fingers crossed, the Cutters at Plaza Luna.